Over in Tid Pacific News, a town of Falava, I'm Seal Manuti of Amtal Fay. Events will be held across the Pacific region to mark Anzac Day. Christina Perisico reports.
In Tonga, King Tupou VI will lead the wreath-laying ceremony at the cenotaph at Pangailahi. On Niue, a New Zealand delegation, led by the Speaker of Parliament, Jerry Brownlee, will attend the Dawn Parade at the National War Memorial in central Alofi. Across in Samoa, a march will take place in Apia from the Returned and Services Association building to the Tower Clock. US veterans from neighbouring American Samoa are taking part in today's Anzac Dawn ceremony. Australia's Anthony Albanese and Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister James Marape are expected to mark Anzac Day at the Isurava Memorial Site in PNG. The two leaders are walking part of the famous PNG Kokoda Track. The Battle of Isurava was an intense six-day period of fighting by Australian and Papuan infantry against Japanese soldiers trying to capture Port Moresby in the Second World War.
Guam has secured $62.4 million to provide renewable energy for low-income households. The Pacific Daily News reports the funding is coming from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Solar for All program. Governor Lou Leon Guerrero highlighted the program's focus on homeowners facing financial barriers to solar energy adoption. Households can expect reductions in electricity bills by up to 20%. Drug peddlers in Fiji are using school students to transport drugs. The principal of Dilkusha Boys Primary School observed it was a hub for drug activity. Speaking to the Fiji Times, Panyata Whanga Savukiono says random spot checks revealing students carrying drugs unwittingly, and this had resulted in the school collaborating closely with police. The Assistant Minister for Education, Eliesa Vanawalu, says students made up 2% of the 3,500 reported drug-related cases in Fiji. He said there has been an increase in cases involving school children over the past 3 years. Papua New Guinea superannuation operator Nambawan Super Limited says about 1,000 families will have to move from the Bushwara settlement in Port Moresby by mid-July. Managing Director Paul Sayer says in total about 5,000 people would be affected. The company, which has owned the land for more than 30 years, is planning a complete new suburb on the more than 200-hectare site. It values the site at 90 million kina, or about $23 million. Mr. Sayer says Nambawan Super is planning to follow on its original plan for the site from 1990.
It's not just looking at housing, but also there would be other developments there to accommodate a community that's been built. So things like shopping centres, you need to have potentially some commercial as well as then parks, and you're looking at also things like schools and the other facilities that would be normally required in a community.
Submissions are being called for on a bill that would restore New Zealand citizenship to thousands of Samoans. The Citizenship Western Samoa Act 1982 bill passed its first reading earlier this month. It would enable Samoans whose New Zealand citizenship was removed by the Act to receive New Zealand citizenship on application. The bill impacts between 3,500 to 5,000 Samoan seniors who were born between 1924 and 1949. Submissions close on Friday, May 31 at midnight. Australian police have arrested seven youths and are questioning five more people following raids linked to a stabbing at a church last week. Officers said the suspects were part of a network that shared a violent extremist ideology motivated by religion. Last week, a 16-year-old boy was charged with a terror offence over an attack on a bishop at the Assyrian Orthodox Church in Sydney. In world news, a scorching heatwave has hit many parts of Asia, with countries shutting down schools and urging residents to limit the amount of time spent outdoors. Temperatures have touched 42 degrees Celsius in parts of Bangladesh. The BBC's Anne Barrison Atirajan reports.
It's April and it's already sweltering in many Asian countries, with people staying indoors during the hottest hours. Thousands of Bangladeshis held special gatherings to pray for rain. The extreme humidity there makes the heat feel even more oppressive. Rickshaw pullers in Dhaka say they have scaled back their working hours, taking a hit on their earnings. Weather officials in Thailand have warned that several provinces will be affected by dangerous levels of heat until the end of the week.
Prosecutors at Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York have asked the judge to fine him for violating a gag order barring attacks on witnesses, jurors and others involved in the case. They have presented several social media posts written by the former US president, which they say criticise witnesses. The judge says he'll reserve his decision on the matter. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee has denied falsifying business records to cover up a payment to a porn actress before he won the US presidential election in 2016. A lost guitar belonging to John Lennon in the 1960s is going up for auction after it was rediscovered in an attic during a house move. It is expected to fetch above its estimate of between $600,000 and $800,000. Here's World Watch's Charlie Drever.
Help, I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone.
When John Lennon was younger, so much younger than today, he played a 12-string guitar on the Beatles' iconic 1965 album, Help. But until recently, it had been laying undiscovered in an attic. Co-founder of Julian's Auctions, Martin Nolan, told Reuters the owners knew they had the instrument at one point through British musician Gordon Waller, but thought it had been lost. The guitar will be auctioned at the end of May in New York's Hard Rock Cafe and online.
In sport, the Fijian Indroa women are already in Brisbane to finalise preparations for their third Super W competition final since 2022. Although they had lost to the Waratahs in the round-robin series, head coach Mosese Rauluni says he believes the team that turns up and plays the full 80 minutes will win the final clash.
So it was a very heavy loss, and I think the girls have learnt from that. Playing at home, you know, you've got to do the hard work before anything happens. So that day we were way off the mark, and I think they've developed really well. And as I said before, New South Wales has been the benchmark team for the whole competition, and everyone's felt their wrath. So obviously a grand final, a different story. It's whoever turns up. You know, you've got to be on song for the 80 minutes. If you're not, you know, there's no second chances.
The two teams meet in the final on Sunday afternoon. Drug-Free Sport New Zealand wants to know why anti-doping rules in China aren't the same as the rest of the world. 23 Chinese swimmers tested positive for a banned drug before the Tokyo Olympics, but the World Anti-Doping Agency let them off the hook as they believed the athletes were inadvertently exposed to the drug through contamination. Drug-Free Sport New Zealand CEO Nick Patterson says there's still a lot of unanswered questions about the revelations that have come out 3 years after the positive results.
We are really concerned about this as an outcome because it doesn't appear to us that the World Anti-Doping Code is being applied in China in the way that it's being applied in the rest of the world. In this situation, we would have expected there to have been a provisional suspension of the athletes in question, probably, where they are stood down from their sport.
Patterson says they'll be working with WADA to understand the situation better. And Arsenal have gone 3 points clear at the top of the English Premiership after thrashing Chelsea 5-0 at the Emirates yesterday. Arsenal are on 77 points, Liverpool 74 and Manchester City 74. City have 2 games in hand and Liverpool 1. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.